Hello, friends. Welcome back to another off-the-cuff ramble with me, FPL Mez. This is episode 16, and in this episode, I'm going to be sharing with you how my game week 14 went and what my transfer plans are for game week 15. I was on a red arrow after game week 14, but I'm still in the top 5k. So grab your drinks and snacks and enjoy the episode. So before I get cracking with how my game week 14 went, I just wanted to take a moment to say a massive thank you to all of you that have been tuning in on a regular basis, whether it's my streams or the videos or the podcasts. I really do appreciate receiving your comments, your suggestions, your feedback in general. It's been great engagement with the FPL community and I love it. And I'll always respond to you as well. So yeah, please do continue to drop me messages and please do like and subscribe if you're tuning in for the first time. I had someone tune in to my previous video and they really enjoyed it. And yeah, I think the likes that you give to my video means other people can find the content as well. But yeah, thank you once again. And yeah, let's jump into it. So before I review my game week 14, also it's been a hectic week, right? In general, there's just been so much going on. There's been, you know, back-to-back game weeks, and it's been really difficult to keep on top of everything. So I've had a really busy work week as well. I've had to travel over the last couple of days, and I'll be completely honest with you, it was our Christmas party last night, and I'm feeling a little bit sore-headed going into the next deadline, basically. But yeah, I'm feeling a little bit confident, you know, despite getting a red arrow in game week 14. So yeah, full disclosure, a little bit exhausted, but very, very happy with where I'm at in general. But if I, you know, as usual, share with you so what my game week 14 bus team looked like. So for game week 14, the plan was to roll. So my plan was if I can try and get sort of two free transfers for game week 15, it means I have a little bit more time to decide who I want to bring in to replace Brian Mbeumo. Once again, he didn't do very well. So yeah, I mean, I guess a bit of a spoiler, but I didn't know that going into game week 14. I was really counting on, you know, a leaky Villa giving Brian Mbeumo a little bit of opportunity to get some returns there. But it just didn't work out. And, you know, I was really keen to fix up my defense a little bit as well. And so I didn't really want to make any transfer decisions going into game week 14. I guess like I was fairly content with my team and happy with how everything was looking. And, you know, it was just off a green arrow as well. And so given that it was midweek, I knew that there was going to be a lot of rotation as well. But it's so difficult to anticipate what those rotations are going to be like. So I didn't really want to commit to making any particular move. So these were some of my thoughts going into game week 14. And, you know, quite frankly, because I didn't know, I just didn't want to make any moves. So going into my review itself, as I mentioned, you know, I got a red arrow. So I was previously 3,103 overall rank. And I dropped down only by 1,573 to about 4,676 overall rank, which is not that bad. And, you know, so overall points were 61 points and my safety score was about 68 points. So I was minus 7 points this time round. I got a little bit of jammy, you know, bench auto subs there. So yeah, I feel like I got really lucky with that overall. But look, the star for me was the jammy auto sub that I got from Rogers and his 8 points, which gave me a huge gain of like 6.27 which is really, really good. My flop for this game week was Ait Nouri. He's just been awful and is definitely on the chopping block for me going into game week 15. And of course, the killer for me, unfortunately, was Mohamed Salah. Now, Salah is on my thumbnail and boy, is he like the king of FPL at the moment and just king of the Premier League right now, right? It's just King Mo and all hail King Mo. He's just been like back to back, just receiving those double digit hauls or giving us double digit hauls even. And he definitely sort of proved me wrong this going into this game week. And I have to be honest with you, like Salah was not really on my mind, like not heavily on my mind from a captaincy point of view. I think I definitely definitely played into the hands of the narrative that Southampton were going to be without a couple of players and Palmer would just be the best captain going into, you know, game week 14. And of course, you know, Palmer Parma has not necessarily been doing that well over the last couple of game weeks, but, you know, it's Parma and, you know, he can haul any time and we've seen that in the past as well. So, yeah, I would say I was at least like 60%, 70% on Parma and then maybe 30%, 40% on Salah just because, you know, I don't have Haaland in the team. There's no real perma captain, you know, option until, yeah, Salah just showing us up that, you know, he can, or showing Haaland up and showing us that he can haul any time, even in the difficult fixtures, even in the draws, like, you know, having a 3-3 draw against Newcastle away was never going to be an easy fixture. But it just goes to show that he can rack up the points and the bonus points and just deliver on a regular basis. So really, really impressed with Salah. But like I said, I was not really ever thinking about captaining him going into game week 14. So if I just share with you my team. So I had Fabianski start in game week 14 in goal, and he got me only 2 points, which is a real bummer because Flecken got 3 points, and Flecken is actually lower owned around me. His EO is only 8.8% around me, and Fabianski is 12.7. So in hindsight, I don't know, I would have played Flecken, but I felt like the West Ham fixture was the better fixture, and surely West Ham would have got some, you know, I mean, they would have got a better result overall, but also Fabianski would have had some clean sheet potential going into that fixture. Interestingly, I actually didn't start Lewis, even though the team that I shared had Lewis starting. I didn't end up starting him. I ended up putting him on my bench and playing Ait Nouri, Robinson and Gabriel. And of course, I had Lewis auto sub on. So, pardon me. That's a real bummer, you know, just having Lewis come on with his one pointer. But given what I had left on the bench as well, it wasn't any better than, you know, Greaves' 1 point. So, yeah, I think from a percentage owned, obviously Greaves just slightly better, but it's okay. Like, there's really very little I could have done about that. But like I mentioned, Ait Nouri, 0 points as well. Robinson got me 6 points. Really happy with that. I just, you know, I think the reason why I played Robinson, I was chatting to a friend of mine, FPL Crisis, over here, you know, in the Sydney FPL community or the Australian FPL community, and he just made a great suggestion, you know, why not play Robinson ahead of Lewis and see how it goes. And yeah, so I thought, yeah, last minute I decided to change it. This is after I sort of posted my team as well. So yeah, so the Robinson returns were great. And in the midfield, I had Brian Mbeumo with his 2 points. I had Palmer captain with only getting me 14 points. I had Saka 3 points. Salah, a mammoth 18 points, which, you know, in hindsight, I really wished I had captained Salah. And then I got the bench jam from Rodgers and his 8 points because Jackson didn't start. And so funny enough, I was driving you know, out of town for a work trip, and I was listening to Goal Rush over here, just kind of listening to the matches, and, you know, every time someone scored, or, you know, but the thing that I couldn't look out for was whether Jackson came on for like a cameo, because I hadn't really seen the team sheets or anything like that in the morning, and the matches were on very early in the morning over here on Thursday. And so, yeah, hadn't really seen whether Jackson got sort of subbed on for his 1-pointer cameo or something like that, so I wasn't entirely sure what to expect. I was really pleased to see that Jackson didn't start. He wasn't in the lineup, and Rodgers came on for his jammy 8 points. So that made a huge difference. And as I mentioned, the start of my game week as well. Gabriel didn't start either, so 0 points there. So yeah, my bench is looking pretty weak at the moment, especially given Lewis only got 1 point and hadn't started and came on, you know, for his cameo. And Ait Nouri has just been super disappointing. And yeah, so like I mentioned, he's definitely on the chopping block for me. And Brian Mbeumo, just again, you know, as I mentioned earlier, really frustrated that he's just not been returning. And I think, like, I'm not even sure he's been taking many shots either. So yeah, it's not looking good for Brian Mbeumo. Let me show you. So I love, like, having a look at what FPL Optimize thinks, you know, about my game week and or how my season's going even. And these are great because it sort of shows you where you're supposed to be based on, like, I guess the data. And I just love how low my trajectory is at the moment and where I'm supposed to be. And, you know, as you can see, I had a bit of a climb over the last couple of game weeks, so since about game week 9, so I wildcarded in game week 6, and from game week 9 to about game week 14, or actually, sorry, not game week 14, game week 12 and game week 13, I've just had a nice, good incline upwards, and then it's just steadied off a little bit. And yeah, I'm feeling a little bit zen, you know, at this stage even. So whilst I've had a red arrow, yeah, I'm feeling really good about where my team is at. And I was kind of expecting the red arrow. As soon as I saw that Salah had scored a couple of goals, and you know, I think he got an assist as well, I knew that it was going to be a red arrow. So yeah, I fully expected it, but I really don't feel too bad. I think anywhere in top 10k or even top 20k where we're at this point in the season and where my season's going, I'm really pleased with where how things are going at the moment. So in terms of like rank in general, so actually I'll see if I can get these two on the screen together. So what I'm showing is the live rank and how far off I am from some of the different sort of ranks. So I'm about 21 points away from 1K and I'm about minus 1 point away from 5K and 11 points away from 10K. This is really helpful from am I thinking about taking a hit? If I do take a hit, what does that hit really mean? And where does it sort of put me straight away? And obviously hits can pay off as well. So I haven't taken any hits this season so far. And so far this season, yeah, look, it's been going okay. This is my fourth red that I've had all season. And like I mentioned, I really can't complain. So I'm on overall, you know, 956 points and, you know, being still in the top 5K, I'm, yeah, just really happy with where things are at. And going into game week 15, I have 2 free transfers as well. So yeah, really, really pleased about that. I'm going to really quickly share with you some of the thoughts. I think I sort of mentioned them anyway, but some of the thoughts that I had were things like, you know, Jackson not playing, which really sucked. And what I didn't include over here, it was some of the immediate thoughts that I had. And so what I'm going to do really quickly is just pop them in, you know, while I'm chatting to you guys in this video. So, you know, I think the main thought that I had was Trent. He looked great. And I want him. Yeah, so I think that was, he only came on for like 23 minutes or so, and he just looked really, really good. And yeah, I think we just kind of woke up a little bit when Trent came on as well. And yeah, I really do want him. Also, you know, Arsenal defense is looking good as well. So I'm deliberating between whether I go Arsenal defense or if I bring in Trent. So that's something that I'll talk through as we look at the upcoming fixtures and discuss with you what my game week 15 transfer thoughts are and what my team selection looks like. I also started a league. So I started a off-the-cuff league. It's called Play Off the Cuff. I've got the league code on the screen and in the description as well. Please do join. It's been a really good league so far. We've got some really good top contenders in the league as well. So Marius Engen is doing phenomenally. Like, I think he's still in the top 100. I think he's in top 100 or 1,000K still. I'll have to double check that properly. But yeah, he's doing really, really well. I think those that are around me as well. So I'm in fourth position at the moment. But yeah, it's a really competitive league. So please do join if you're keen to kind of compete with some of the folks that have been tuning into my channel. And if you want to compete against me as well. So and the relatively good season that I'm having. So yeah, please do join. It's a great league. And I will read it out for those of you that are listening on the podcast. So the league code is VHTW60. So yeah, please do join. It'll be great to have you in there. Before I go through my game week 15 team selection, let's have a look at some of the projected goals. So this is a graphic from RobTFPL. So these are projected goals and clean sheet odds and some of the matches that we've got looking, you know, to look forward to. Of course, the one that I'm most excited about is the Everton-Liverpool match. And, you know, Liverpool, whilst they looked a little bit fatigued, you know, against Newcastle away, it's a really good derby. I love this match. It's one of the matches that I have attended, you know, when I was living in the UK. So I grew up in the UK, for those of you that, you know, didn't sort of notice the accent or didn't know already, but yeah, I grew up in the UK and I moved to Australia about 10 years ago. So it's been really difficult to watch any live matches living over here, and only really getting over to the UK during, you know, summer periods when it's off season. But the Everton-Liverpool match is something that I have been able to see in person at Anfield as well. So yeah, that's going to be absolutely mental in Merseyside. So yeah, I'm really looking forward to watching this match. It's going to be on at like 11:30 p.m. for us, which is really, really late. And of course, a lot of the matches over here in Australia are overnight. They're 2 a.m., 3 a.m., that kind of thing, until the times change. And so I don't mind the morning matches. So the midweek matches meant I was able to watch some matches or listen to the matches early in the morning. They're on at about 6:30 or 7:15, that kind of thing. But yeah, it's really difficult to watch the matches on the weekend when they're on at like 2 a.m. And so. So yeah, so this match is going to be on at about 11:30 p.m. So I'm probably looking forward to this one the most. And as you can see, Liverpool have got the highest clean sheet odds at 40% as well. So Trent is definitely on my radar, and he's on the Rob T FPL graphic as well. But the other matches that I'm really looking forward to is probably the Arsenal and Fulham match. Like, Fulham have been really good defensively. Whilst I'm not probably going to start Robinson, who I've got in my team, I've got Saka in my team, and so their clean sheet odds are really high as well. That's on like 38%. And we saw Timber get a huge double-digit haul as well. So I've definitely got Timber on my mind, or at least a second Arsenal defence on my mind as well, given Gabriel didn't start and we don't know what it looks like for him starting in game week 15 as well. So yeah, I'll definitely be looking out for the presses and the news, and just seeing, you know, what's happening there. Interestingly, the next like best or next three best clean sheet odds looks like from Man United and Forest match. So Man United have got a 36% clean sheet odds, and then the Villa Southampton match, which is a really good match for Watkins owners and Rodgers like me. I'm probably going to bench Rodgers again. I wonder if he's going to get rested. So I'll talk through that in a moment when I go through my game week 15 team selection, and then City as well. So I'm deliberating at the moment. Do I keep Lewis? Do I not keep Lewis? What do I do? Do I start Lewis? He didn't start in the previous match in game week 14. So I'm not sure. I haven't fully decided. But the other match that has decently high sort of, you know, clean sheet odds as well is the Brighton-Leicester match. But Brighton have been super leaky, and it's an away match as well. And Leicester still have new, you know, manager bounce with Ruud van Nistelrooy being over there. And they've already won their first match up against, you know, West Ham, where we kind of expected West Ham to maybe get a clean sheet and turn up. But of course, you know, that was a bit of a challenge for West Ham. And Leicester have been looking really good with van Nistelrooy. So yeah, we're going to have to, just keep an eye on that. But I've got João Pedro in my team at the moment. And I may be making plans to bring in another Brighton attacker. So that's definitely on my radar. But from a goals point of view, Liverpool's projected to score about 2.2 goals, it seems. But the highest projection is coming from Villa against Southampton. So this is where, if Rodgers is going to be benched, I'm not sure. I don't know. Like, we don't actually know this, but I'm thinking about benching Rodgers. And I've already done that, and I got his jammy points. And so do I just take that risk again? I don't know. So that's something that I still need to decide if I want to do or not, based on the transfers that I'm thinking about making. So if we look at some of the goal scorers, so Watkins is right up there just because of those, you know, that high sort of potential for goals that Aston Villa have against Southampton. Watkins is up there for 1+ goals at like 57%. Haaland, if you have Haaland, you know, like he's, I dropped Haaland a couple of game weeks ago, and I'm glad that I did, but also it makes me very nervous not having Haaland. He's got haul potential anytime. And then Salah up there at sort of 46% as well, and Palmer pretty high as well with that 43%, along with Isak. And how amazing was Isak up against Liverpool? I don't normally say that about any player or team that when they're playing against my beloved, you know, team, the team that I support. But the goal from Isak was just phenomenal. Like, it was just an absolute thunder bastard, kind of a strike, and love to see it. He's such a good player. I think, you know, I don't have Isak in my team, but I am definitely thinking about some Newcastle attack as well. So this is where, you know, do I try and bring in a player that could get in on some of the points given some of the good fixtures that Newcastle have? And they played really, really well. So, yeah, I think we can expect to see a little bit more rotation just because the time spent between, you know, matches. So I was chatting to Zofa from FPL Wire just in the background, and, you know, he mentioned to me, or reminded me as I was thinking about bringing Mitoma in my team, he reminded me that the turnaround time between Brighton's, you know, match in game week 14 and when they play in game week 15 is the shortest for any team going into game week 15. So that's a really good point. So we could see João Pedro potentially getting some, could be a minutes risk, not sure. And as it would be for some of the other Brighton attackers as well. So I had been thinking about Mitoma. So now I'm questioning that move. So yeah, not sure just yet. So generally looking at the fixtures as well. So as I mentioned, I've got two free transfers going into game week 15, and I'm eyeing up Liverpool players. So I'm eyeing up Trent at the moment. So let me just kind of chuck them in here as I'm chatting to you. So I'm eyeing up, let's make that smaller. So I'm eyeing up Trent. I'm also eyeing up Timber, Mitoma, who else? Semenyo. Although it seems like Tavernier is getting more of the returns at the moment. I'm also eyeing up Anthony Gordon. So if I just kind of pop these up here, so Liverpool, Arsenal, Mitoma, where's Brighton? There's Brighton, Semenyo for Bournemouth, which is down here as well, and Gordon for Newcastle. So if we look at their fixtures, you know, they're looking really good. So if I start with, you know, Arsenal, and I'm thinking double Arsenal defence at the moment because those fixtures scream clean sheets. And so, you know, they've got Fulham up next. They've then got Everton. They've got Palace, Ipswich, Brentford, Brighton. So they're really, really good fixtures. It definitely screams clean sheet potential there. It also screams some good attacking potential as well. But yeah, at the moment, given how lowly owned Timber is, I'm definitely thinking about Timber, who seems like he's cemented his position in that side as well. So yeah, that's where I'm at in the early thinking that I have with Arsenal. I could just wait a little bit longer and maybe think about bringing in Timber for game week 16 or for game week 17, something like that. Just kind of roll a couple of transfers. It will be a little bit painful, but Rye is definitely on my mind as well, given I've got Fabianski and Flekin, who have not been great, let's face it. Trent, oh my gosh, yeah, of course, a little bit of Liverpool bias there, but Trent looked really good, and he's a steal for 6.9. And so if I end up only having two Liverpool players for the remainder of the game weeks, you know, right up until at least what this fixture ticket from Lego Mane is showing us, which is up to game week 23, then Liverpool have Everton coming up next, Fulham, Tottenham, Leicester, West Ham, United, Forest, Brentford, Ipswich. So I'd be really happy to hold on to Trent as well. So yeah, I'm definitely deliberating. I'll probably end up with both Arsenal, an extra Arsenal defender, and you know, bringing in Trent or even Van Dijk potentially. So I'm definitely going to probably end up doing that for at least up until, you know, game week 23. It's just how I get to that combination. And so there are a couple of players that are on the chopping block for me. And I'll sort of pop some of the names up there as well. So Cunha is on a bit of a chopping block for me at the moment, as is Ait Nouri. And of course, you know, I just realized you can't really see that on the screen there. Let's just kind of move that down here. As is Lewis, just because from a minutes point of view, and I'm trying to think who else is sort of annoying me at the moment. I think that's pretty much it for the time being. So yeah, if I turn that into a red post-it instead, Cunha, where's Wolves? Wolves is down here. Yeah, I think I will definitely I'll probably jump off of Cunha eventually, and same with Ait Nouri, potentially even this before this weekend. I'll probably make my transfers fairly soon going into the deadline. And, you know, I reckon there's going to be some price increases there as well. So, yeah, I'll probably need to make a decision fairly soon. But if we look at some of the Wolves fixtures, so Wolves have got West Ham coming up. But again, you know, they've just been completely unpredictable. So it might be that I hold on to Cunha for at least West Ham, Ipswich and Leicester, and then drop him after game week 17 to then move on elsewhere and free up some funds. Maybe, you know, drop him down to potentially even a Bournemouth, like maybe even Ivan Nilsson, and just save a little bit of money there. Because after game week 17, Bournemouth have Palace, Fulham, Everton. And so there could be really good sort of, you know, opportunities to get some returns for a Ivan Nilsson, for example. So, yeah, just a couple of options there. The other player was Lewis, and more so from a minutes point of view. Like, I'm not really complaining about, like, some of the fixtures that they've got coming up. Like, from game week 18, you know, they've got some really good fixtures as well. They've got Everton, Leicester, West Ham. In fact, all of the fixtures that they have, there's so much, like, potential there. We're just seeing a very unpredictable Man City, and so I'm not entirely sure if I want to go there or not. So yeah, so that's some of my early thinking based on some of the players that I have in my team and some of the fixtures that are coming up, and where I'm at and what I'm thinking at the moment. And it's just really going to come down to funds. So if I show you my first bus team, so what I'm thinking over here at the moment. So I would have Fabianski in goal. So I'm not going to make any goalkeeper transfers at the moment. So I would probably play Fabianski up against Wolves. It's a home fixture for West Ham. So hopefully, potentially a good one. I'm not sure. But of course, I'm playing Cunha as well. So I'm not sure how that's going to work out. But again, you know, I played Robinson and he got returned. So yeah, you can hope for the best that there'll be some save points there for Fabianski versus Flecken, who's up against Newcastle, who have been super attacking. So although it's Newcastle away, so yeah, it could go any direction, really. I'm hoping that Gabriel is fit enough to play, so I'll be starting Gabriel up against Fulham, which is an away fixture. In fact, most of my team are away fixtures, if not all, except for Fabianski. So everyone is pretty much playing away, which is crazy. Anyway, so I will have Gabriel playing against Fulham. I would then bring in Trent Alexander-Arnold up against Everton. I'd play Lewis, who's away to Palace. And then in this particular midfield order, I'm thinking about bringing in Anthony Gordon, who's away to Brentford. I would then have Palmer starting against Tottenham, Saka against Fulham. I would then be captaining Mo Salah against Everton, which could be a tricky captaincy just because of the early fixture and, well, the first fixture, but also Gandhi and all of that, and, you know, all the good things that I learned about Gandhi and the early fixture. So I'm not 100% confident about that, but I'm pretty sure Salah captaincy in the early fixture is exempt from any Gandhi juju. So yeah, I'm being positive about it, and given how regular and consistent Mo Salah has been, I'm confident about putting my captaincy band on him. But otherwise, I think the alternative option is probably going to be Saka. I think that's a really good fixture, even though defensively Fulham have been really good. Or it could be Palmer. I think there's some really good captaincy options going into this game week, including Isak, who I don't have, but Isak, who's on pens and is just on really good form, is a really good captaincy option as well if you have Isak in your team. My forward line then looks like Jackson up against Tottenham, and then João Pedro against Leicester, and Cunha away to West Ham as well. And then on the bench, I would have Flecken, Rodgers, Robinson and Greaves. Now, João Pedro is a potential minutes risk as well. He played, it looks like he played the full 90, or at least sort of close to 90. So yeah, it might be that he gets some rest or comes off the bench, not sure, because it's you know, away to Leicester. We won't know. It's, you know, the fixture's coming a little bit later, so we might not know going into game week 15. But then I've got a good bench if Rodgers does start. So I'm kind of counting on more bench jam, I guess. And so I've got to hope for the best there. So in terms of my transfers, let me just show you a couple of the bits of thinking that I've got here. So let me see if I can just fit all of this onto the screen so you can see it as a whole, and then I'll show you the alternative bus team that I have in mind as well. So I would then take out Ait Nouri, who's been rubbish. I'm just really shocked at the lack of returns that Ait Nouri's been able to produce. There's not been any attacking returns, clean sheet. I can't remember the last time he got a clean sheet, to be honest with you. So at the moment, I'm thinking Ait Nouri to Trent. It then leaves me with enough money to go Mbumo to Gordon, which is just a tiny drop. I mean, Mbumo would give me about 7.4 and Gordon's about 7.2. So only leaves me with a little bit of money in the bank, as you can see, based on, I think it's just 0.1 or something like that. The other option is, do I prioritize Arsenal defense going up against Fulham? Do I go Timber instead and prioritize that? Or do I just go for Trent for the time being, just because he's playing really well? He came off the bench, only played about 23 minutes away to Newcastle, so it could be a game that, you know, Trent starts against Everton. The alternatives from Mbumo are also Mitoma and Semenyo. I've spelt his name wrong. Let me just get that right. So it's either Mitoma or Semenyo. I'm just thinking, just Bournemouth have got really good fixtures, and even though, like I mentioned, Tavernier is doing really, really well, and it just gives me more money in the bank. So Semenyo and Mitoma are both under 6.6 mil also, and so yeah, it definitely leaves me with a little bit more money in the bank. And so if I show you what that team looks like, so down here, so I've got the second bus team that I'm thinking about. So if I brought in Mitoma, who I'm probably leaning towards a little bit more, just because I feel like Brighton are more of the attacking side, even though they didn't do so well against Fulham. Yeah, I'd be thinking about bringing in Mitoma. So that would be the only difference there. Everything else would be the same. I would just not go Gordon and just bring in Mitoma instead. And so, yeah, so that's where I'm thinking at the moment. And I have to admit, I'm leaning towards the Gordon fixture a little bit more. But let me just kind of show you where some of the replacements that I was, you know, thinking about and why, and, you know, what their, I guess, what their form has been like as well. So I've got on the screen Anthony Gordon, Mitoma, Semenyo, and Tavernier as well, just to kind of show you from a contextual perspective. So Newcastle have upcoming, you know, Brentford away, Leicester at home, Ipswich away, which are great fixtures, given how well Isak is playing and you know, Newcastle. And if we have a look at some of the returns that Anthony Gordon's had as well, so he got 8 points against Liverpool, he got 5 points against Palace, he only got 2 points against West Ham, but it just goes to show that he is on form. And I think on the flank that Gordon plays, it seems like Brentford are the weakest as well. So I'm slightly leaning towards that, just because, you know, he's got a really good link up with Isak as well. And if I can't go Isak at the moment, I kind of want to get in on some of the Gordon points if I can. And then you've got Mitoma again, you know, as I mentioned, really good fixtures, Leicester away, Crystal Palace at home, and then West Ham away. And he's had some really good returns. So whilst he only got 2 points against Fulham, prior to that, Southampton at home, he got 10 points. Bournemouth away, he got 9 points as well. So, you know, I think those two are probably the top two that I need to make a decision about. And I'll probably make my my transfers before any price increases, because I think Trent is going to increase. And my Trent transfer is dependent on which midfield transfer I make, just to free up a little bit of money to bring in Trent. Semenyo, who I think is in many teams, just hasn't been regular with his returns. So as you can see, you know, he's got Ipswich, West Ham, and then United coming up in the next three. But in terms of returns, he's only got three points against Tottenham, only he got 0 points against Wolves, and then only 1 point in the last three fixtures, and that 1 point was against Brighton. And so it's not been consistent for Semenyo, even though he's probably the on paper the more attacking player to bring in. Tavernier is the one who's been getting the return, so he got 6 points against Tottenham, 5 points against Wolves. So he's definitely a good option as well. And they're kind of priced very, very similarly. So Tavernier is only 5.5 mil and Semenyo is 5.7 mil. And so, you know, if you look at it from an EO or selected point of view, both Gordon and Mitoma are very, very similar. So Gordon's only 8.1% selected and Mitoma is 8.6. And then you got Semenyo 6.6 and then Tavernier 0.4. Which is super, super low. So, that's basically what I'm thinking. So if I show you my bus team again, I'm like I mentioned, I'm leaning towards the Gordon fixture. If we have a look at the fixtures again for Newcastle, they're pretty good. Brentford, Leicester, Ipswich, Villa, United, Tottenham coming up next. So even if I hold Gordon for a couple of game weeks and use that spot as a spot to just jump on and off of a couple of punty picks or good, you know, picks, given that the rest of the team is pretty template. So my midfield is pretty template with Palmer, Saka and Salah. Most teams have Palmer, Saka and Salah now. It's just become the template team. And, you know, I think I heard this on one of the pods, you know, more recently that I was listening to. You almost need Haaland to do well again for everyone to want to jump onto Haaland again. He's super lowly owned as well. So, yeah, that's basically what I'm thinking for my transfer thoughts at the moment. Let me know what you think as well. Like if you think, you know, I should go for Gordon or if I should go for Mitoma, those are probably the two players that I'm thinking about the most. If I put them, you know, side by side, so you can see it in context. So this is what I'm thinking for my bus teams. If you can, if you're watching this on YouTube, you can see those side by side there. This is what I'm thinking at the moment. Does it look better with Mitoma? Does it look better with Gordon? It's the difference between having 0.8 mil in the bank or having 0.1 in the bank. So that's basically the main difference between the teams that I have there at the moment. So let me know what you think. Let me know like what you're planning from a captaincy point of view as well, what some of your transfer thoughts are. How did your game week go as well? Did you get a red arrow as well? It was a pretty tough game week. Or did you get a green arrow and you captain Salah? Then, you know, kudos to you. Let me know how you got on. I, you know, as I've mentioned, I love sort of receiving your feedback and comments and suggestions, that kind of thing. So, yeah, let me know how you got on. So just to wrap up, thank you once again for tuning in. Please do like, let me know what you're planning for game week 15 and good luck. All the best as we head into game week 15 deadline and going back to having some breaks in between the deadlines as well. So all the best and wishing you green arrows.